Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
I got this tattoo the other day, and the lady who tattooed me was a she's a lesbian.
Single?
No, she's a girlfriend. She's a lesbian who is French and Lebanese. Slay.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, I moved to America like for college when I turned 18. Like, French is my first language. Like, she was so cool. And she was like, can I get you anything? And I said, yeah, like an ice water. And she said, you fucking Americans and your ice. And I said, what do you mean?
Yeah.
And then I was like, wait, because every time I've gone to Europe or a foreign country and I'm like, can I have ice? They're like, no.
Yeah.
It's not a thing. Because I was thinking on the way here, you drink that and there's no ice in it. And you also don't care if your drinks are refrigerated.
No, not really. But the reason why this drink isn't, like, there's no ice in it, because I put, like, workout shit in it. And it'll just get, like, chunky if I put ice in it. Yeah.
It's so American, being like, can I have a glass of ice?
Yeah.
I just had to say that. Because this isn't, it was refrigerated, now it's lukewarm, and I can't drink it.
It's just you bragging that you've been to Europe. You know that I haven't been to Europe.
You know? Oh, no, you don't. It just was a L American moment.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that face when you're American?
Yeah.
Welcome back to
Violating Community Guidelines
with your cousins,
Brittany
and Sarah.
And we're in a new studio today.
All right.
The new and improved one. Actually, looking at you, like with this wall behind me, is kind of like messing up my eyes.
It really hurts. I didn't even think about that.
You know those like books where you like try to look for like a word within like a color?
Yeah.
And everyone's just like, relax your eyes, and you're like, what the fuck do you mean?
Oh my God, I'm having a stroke.
And everyone's like, look, a lizard. And you're like, I can't, I don't see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like my eyes are crossing.
Yeah. It's actually, oh my gosh, it's like a vision test.
Oh God. Can we kill the lights in here, guys?
We do this show with an eye patch now.
Well, what are we talking about today, cuzzo?
We're talking about the influencer to musician pipeline.
Which is a highly requested topic.
Mm-hmm.
Because what is it? Why does it happen? Are we going to solve the answer question?
No. Are we going to sign any deals? Probably not.
Probably not.
Well, I don't want to speak for you.
So, we want to, everyone kind of knows, if you're on social media at all, that social media stars tend to be always in the news. They are the new. This is a hot take that I think.
Uh-huh.
They are the new celebrity.
Yes.
I mean, people care more about what fucking like the D'Amelios and Addison Rae are doing than like Tom Cruise.
Yes.
Well, Tom Cruise was just in a movie. That's a bad example.
Yes.
But you know what I mean.
Yes, I do. I don't know why the texture of the wall behind you is making me really giggly.
Okay.
But yeah, I really think, I mean, I think a lot, because I think that a lot of people who are invested in the, like pop culture are younger, and so like younger people are like trying to find the new younger people, and Tom Cruise is not young anymore.
Old and a Scientologist.
Yeah, give it up.
Yeah. You're in a cult, give it up.
Yes.
Well, anyway, there's a bunch of people that come to mind, namely, like I said, like Dixie D'Amelio, Addison Rae, even like Tana Mojo. Those are kind of the cringe
Tana
ones.
Mojo has music?
Yeah, bitch. You don't know Tana Mojo's smash hit 2017, Hefner?
No.
I fuck on your bitch like I'm Hefner. Oh. I take 10% like I rep her.
Yeah, I... No, you know what? I actually have heard that.
I'm sure that jogged your memory. Yes. Yeah, she wanted to be a rapper.
Uh-huh. That's so like her.
Classic Tana.
She's always spitting bars.
She's always, hey, let's get in the stew. Let's drop some heat. Tana, stop.
You meet her one time and she's freestyling.
Give me a beat, give me a beat.
Give me a word. And then you're like, duck. And she's like, duck, fuck, truck. And you're like, Tana.
You're like, she's really good.
Dial it back.
Yeah.
Save it for the studio.
It's like the white guy that brings a guitar to the function. Tana's just rapping.
Yes.
She's like, yo, make a beat with the pots and pans. Tana, it's my birthday,
she's
dude.
She's camp rocking there.
She's kind of, she brings, okay.
Wait, Stanley included an article that said 37 extremely talented musicians. It says Lauren Gray, Conan Gray.
No, 37 talented music influencers.
Oh, music influencers.
Which we'll get into the difference between an influencer musician and a musician that's an influencer.
Yeah, it's like how squares are rectangles, but not all rectangles are squares.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Do you want to kick us off?
Yes. So let's start with influencers turned singers. It's going to continue forever. From the Harvard Crimson. In an unsurprising move, TikTok star Addison Rae released her debut single, Obsessed, this month.
This is a dated article.
It's dated. A short song that highlights self-love and empowerment. Though Rae herself asserts in her Rolling Stone interview that it's not as deep as people will think it is. I think people think it's pretty shallow. So, like,
I personally spent about 36 hours trying to analyze the lyrics over the course of a month.
Yes.
So... All right, Addison.
Well, I mean, people can drown in 2 inches of water. This could be deep to someone.
Yeah, me.
Really make an impact on their life. Rae is following closely in the footsteps of Dixie D'Amelio, the world's eighth most followed TikToker, and actress Olivia Rodrigo, who released debut singles Be Happy and Driver's License, respectively, in recent months. So this is from a couple years ago, yeah?
Yeah. Also, I was singing Obsessed earlier because it's one of those... I think part of... We'll get into... the equation of what makes these people and these songs viral and why that it has success, however you define success, why it has publicity. And I think that's a key part of it is that it gets stuck in your head.
Yeah.
Like I read Obsessed by Addison Rae and I was like, so I took a second, I said me too.
I want to look up the lyrics now though.
Yeah.
Addison Rae. I want to see what she thought people are going to.
Well, people thought that it was about Bryce Hall.
Oh.
Because this was, she had just broken up Bryce Hall, and then she released a song called Obsessed, where it says, you're obsessed with me, me too.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with me, as much as you.
You turned our song down, baby, what for? You had lit candles on the dashboard. Red roses growing.
Fire hazard.
Out of the you have lit candles in your car.
Driving 90 miles an hour down the fucking 405, just flames.
That's like me with my Beanie Babies. Every time I stomp on the brake, they just all fly and hit me. But that's in lieu of airbags that I don't have.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. So there's a reason for them. But yeah, I mean, that was really deep. I'm going to have to stew on that later.
That's what I'm saying. Dude, if I was Bryce Hall, I'd be punching the wall. Yes. Punching the fucking air, dude.
These songs made by and for TikTokers become instant hits, though these creators previously weren't famous for music. The influencer-to-singer pipeline is created by the confluence of two movements, entertainer despecialization and the rise of music production technology that can sell almost anyone as a pop star. As a new generation of influencers establish fame on TikTok, it's only natural that they expand their careers into music, especially considering the app's merger with Musical.ly in 2017. Were you on Musical.ly?
I was not, but I knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was very well versed in Musical.ly, but I never personally made... I'm lying. I did make an account because I made a wait. I made a fake one. Well, I made an account and then I made like a parody Musical.ly.
Yeah.
In 2018, right before I graduated college. What is in my mouth?
Your tongue.
That, yeah, that and food. You know, he's talking, food just comes up, and you're like,
swallow it back.
Swallow, sorry. Fuck me. What was I saying? Oh, I made a parody musically with my friend Emily, mm-hmm. and it was always those, like, you know, sped up, like, belly dancer ones of, like, just anyone thinking that they were fucking. I don't know what that trend is, by the way.
Yeah.
Do you know who Malu Trevejo is?
Kind of, yeah.
Malu was a Musical.ly star who was just pretty and would, like, belly dance. And now she's on TikTok and she still does the same thing, but she's, like, so hot and she got a BBL. I'm obsessed, even though she's problematic. It's whatever. She was on Musical.ly, like, famous for just belly dancing because she was kind of good at it.
Yeah.
But it was, like, 14-year-olds all, like, lifting up their shirt and, like, tucking it into their bra and, like, doing yes. just, like, convoluting their stomachs and, like, I remember watching that and being like, because I was 21.
Yeah.
Watching these, like, early high schoolers do this. And I was like, what are we doing, dude? Like, I wasn't on Tumblr looking at eating disorder blogs. Yeah. Anyway, we would see that and be like, what are these fucking kids doing? And that famous Musical.ly of the dude with his grandpa.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Come on! He said, I will give up. Nah, nah, nah. Won't you give up? Nah, nah. And he, like, flips the camera around, but it's his fucking dead grandpa in the background.
Yeah.
Hooked up to a tube. Anyway. We made one, and we were dying laughing. I don't think we ever published it. We just, like, did it with that speed-up effect, and we all watched it, and it was just the most ridiculous thing ever.
Yeah.
Because when you are not that target demographic where you're like, this is so cool, I want to do that.
Yeah.
And you can zoom out and be like, this is so absurd.
Yeah.
That's what we did. Mm-hmm. And so I never posted it. I made an account only to absorb the information and never to, like, pose.
Yeah.
That's my Musical.ly story.
I can't imagine you belly dancing at all, even ironically.
Yeah, it was bad. It was funny, too, because it's like, I don't have a flat stomach.
Yeah.
So to be like,
I wouldn't say that's what makes it bad, though.
But it was so like, oh, my God.
What was the camera like 6 inches from your stomach? It's just looking into your, there was this guy on Vine who would like write famous people's names on his stomach and then he would belly dance really quickly. So he like did that for my name and it was just like, you know, like J-Lo like on the floor, but like my name moving on this guy's stomach.
At Sarah Shower.
Yeah. And I was like, thanks, man. This is great.
Really appreciate it. Or that dude that puts famous people's names in his mohawk.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, people that do that, why?
I know.
Hey, why are you doing that?
I mean, if it's like easy to do, then like, and it's funny, I would probably do it.
Hey, you enjoyed it, it sounds like.
I know. Yeah, it was super easy. He just wrote my name backwards and then belly danced to On the Floor by J-Lo.
It was the best birthday of my life.
I know.
It was the first time I felt celebrated.
I know. Someone remembered it was my birthday this time.
But yeah, that is my Musical.ly story. And then, as we all know, Musical.ly merged with TikTok in 2018, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, 2017. And then the rest is kind of history because 2019 is when TikTok really took off. That's when I personally started using it. And then when it started to become more mainstream and not just like, what are these cosplayers doing?
Yeah.
So anyway, this phenomenon goes back further than TikTok. Tana Mojo, like I mentioned, famous for her storytime videos on YouTube and Snapchat, released her debut single, Hefner, in 2017 as a fulfillment of her longtime wish of becoming a rapper. The song proved to be her most lasting contribution to the music world, though she releases a new single almost every year. She has another one called Cloud Nine with Elijah Daniel.
I'm looking up her discography. It's Hefner, FaceTime, Fuck Up, W.
Because I'm a fuck up. I'm so fucked up. To the most music. Wait.
There's Dead A, Four Loko, Without You, and an OnlyFans.
What's the fucking one she did with Elijah Daniels?
She's got Roast Yourself Challenge, Kobe Cloud. Clout 9 and Without You.
Clout 9.
Mm-hmm.
High and popping on Clout 9.
How do you actually know these?
Because I used to watch them so ironically, they would just get stuck in my head.
Yeah, like ironically.
Yes. Because it's, we'll talk about this in a second, but it's like, that's the reason why these songs go viral is because people hate watch them.
Yeah.
Like, now, what the fuck is this? Tana Mojo made a song, and then you watch it, and then you're like, you gotta watch this.
Yeah.
And then by the time you're done showing it to everyone, you've seen it like 15 times.
Yeah.
Me gathering all 15 of my friends, like, let's all watch this. Yeah, there's a part where she comes in and she's like, And it's also like trying to watch with these influencers what persona they develop to sing. Because you can't just be like yourself, I guess. Like you have to be a little more theatrical, a little more whatever. I almost just said histrionic.
Yeah. I mean, that is right. Histrionic means like dramatic, like super dramatic.
Period.
Yeah.
My vocab brain. Oh, there's a skylight in here.
Yes, there is. I'm
sorry. She comes in and she's like, Santa coming through with the forecast. And I remember being like, why is she talking like that?
Yeah. But I mean, I think that makes the most sense for her.
Yeah.
That voice. Like, I wouldn't expect her to like put on like a British accent or something. Or like super something super complex. It would just be an exaggeration of like Valley Girl.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Leaning into the like bimbo.
Yeah.
I think she's, say what you want about Tana Mojo and all these fucking problematic influencers, but like they're so smart.
Mm-hmm.
Like for being, it's on purpose a lot of the times. Problematic on purpose.
Oh, no, it's and, all the time they're being problematic.
And just like getting so many views and so much money and like sure people hate you, but like they are so rich.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the secret. You have to stop being a good person.
You have to be an absolute narcissist who doesn't care about others
and is wildly offensive. Your immediate friend group.
Yes. Just be super racist is their strategy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what?
I think I'll just stick with the way that we're going.
Yeah, I'll think with having some form of a moral compass.
Yeah.
I think it serves us pretty well.
Mm-hmm. I'm already cluster B. I can't lean into it more. So this song proved to be her most, ex-Viner Jake Paul began his rap career in earnest with the comically awkward It's Every Day, Bro. I remember that one, though, too.
Yes, and I would like to talk about It's Every Day, Bro.
Okay.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Okay. When it first came out, I remember me and my siblings watched it together. Mm-hmm. I have a 6 and 7 year age gap with my brother and sister.
Yeah.
And for the first time ever, we all bonded on this of us being like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Like, this is so bad. And when Logan Paul came out with his diss track to his brother.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I want to do an episode on that.
Okay. Just diss tracks by the Paul brothers.
Yes. Well, on YouTube diss tracks actually, and how cringy that is.
Wait. Actually, podcast topics that are that hyper-specific, the Paul brothers have so much info.
I want to do one on the Paul brothers.
Okay, yeah. And then we can like lean into their diss tracks and stuff like that.
Yes. And then shit like Rice Gum and all that. Mm-hmm. Where all those. I don't know any. And then who was FaZe Banks?
Oh, yeah.
All those people, like, it's kind of like I know who they are, but I don't. I vaguely remember them. Yes. You giggling at yourself?
No, dude, the wall behind you is just so confusing. Your face is like moving. It's like sand.
Yeah.
Like a mirage. But yeah, no, that's like a really great topic. It's like, I had a separate thing. You were like, that's the first time you bonded with your siblings. Yeah. That's how I felt when my sister came out as a lesbian.
Period.
And like, she's like 4 years younger, and I was like, oh, happy Pride Month, guys.
Happy Pride.
Yeah, but I was like, Hannah, you like, and she's like, I do, and then, yeah.
Oh.
I know.
Yeah, that's how I felt, but over Jake Paul.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is your pride moment.
It is. Yes. Jake Paul is a very turning point in my life with my familial relationships.
Yes.
And so, and also when he, when Logan and Jake boxed whoever, that was another moment where me and my siblings were like, Dude, you see the fight?
They're actually good boxers, which they is crazy.
And they set the precedent for these, like, cringe, whatever, influencer versus whoever boxing matches.
Yeah.
Because they actually prepared for it and, like, are built as fuck and, like, take it seriously. And Bryce Hall being like, I'll fight anyone.
Yeah.
I'll fight anyone who, like, wants to.
I just, like, imagine influencers expanding into different sports. Like, it's like you and me, like, against Michael Phelps.
Curling?
Yes.
You and me water polo?
Influencer water polo.
In our fursuits?
Yes. We drown immediately.
Well, it's true. It's like, what qualifications do these people have to do that? Anyone can box anyone.
Yeah, literally.
But for water polo? In a fursuit?
Not everyone has access to a pool or fursuit.
Or a fursuit, yeah. Yes. Not everyone can hold up 89 pounds of fur in dripping water, soaked to the bone.
There's like new sports being introduced to the Olympics, and there's one that's underwater hockey that's actually so decent. Like, it's actually about to be in the Olympics. I did a YouTube video on, like, unusual sports. There's like wife carrying. Where you, like, it's a race.
These are Olympic events.
Oh, no. These are, like, I made a YouTube video, like, these games should be in the Olympics.
Oh.
But underwater hockey is really close to being in the Olympics.
Now, how the fuck do they do that?
You just take a lot of deep breaths.
No, but, like, what puck stays on the ocean floor?
I mean,
not the ocean floor, the pool floor.
If it's, like, I mean, you can, it's heavy enough. If you hit it across the ground, it'll go pretty far.
That seems crazy. I'd like to watch.
I know, you should. It's actually really cool.
I'm a queen who likes to watch. Underwater hockey. What do you know about...
It escaped me.
Sorry, what were you saying?
Oh, I was going to say that there's also, like, another event called, like, wife carrying.
Yeah.
Where it's just like a relay race, but you carry your wife on top.
That's wild.
I know. We should enter that.
Oh, I was going to say... carrying you carrying a
Yeah, I work
person.
Out. I could carry you.
Russian slapping competition. Yes. Have y'all ever seen Russian slapping competitions, dude? That's the funniest thing I've ever seen. It's just two beefy fucking Russian dudes.
Yeah.
You've seen them.
Yeah.
If you want to watch them, what's his name? Penguins is his username on YouTube. Go watch his videos on Russian slapping competitions. They get like a shit ton of baby powder and just whop the fuck out of the other person.
Yeah.
And like these people literally lose consciousness sometimes. And I cannot believe this is a televised event in Russia.
Yeah. I mean, like, are there different heats, like backhanded, open-handed?
Yeah. And there's rules.
Yeah.
You can't do like a jaw. You can't use fingers. It has to be palm.
Oh.
You can like take someone's eye.
Yes. If you hit them with your fingers.
And when I put razor blades between my fingers, yes. that'll do it. Yeah.
Wait, are there like, you know, like in wrestling where it's like you're paired together by like weight class?
Yeah.
Are you like paired together by hand size?
You know, you would think.
Yeah.
And the more videos I watched, I was like, these two people are not equipped to slap each other.
This isn't fair.
It's not fair. It's like a big fucking muscly scary guy.
Yeah.
And then a little short guy.
You got Jack the Skeleton.
Yeah, just slapping the fuck. I'm like, you're going to kill him. You're going to kill him. But those little dudes got little skinny hands. They'll get you cut off your blood flow. Scary. Anyway, Jake Paul.
He began his rap career in earnest. Diss tracks gave away to the more polished sounds like Fresh Out of London in 23 and 2020.
Now, let me tell you something about Fresh Out of London by Jake Paul.
Uh-huh.
It's a great song.
Okay.
Unironically, dude. And you know who introduced me to it? Emmy Hartman.
I think you're going to say your siblings.
We're all just Paul brother lovers. Yes. My siblings used to be Low Gang.
Really?
Like, religiously. My sister used to write Logan Paul fan fiction.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, bestie. But you did.
Yeah.
She did. And when Emmy showed me this song, and she was like, give it a chance. And I was like, Emmy, fucking Jake Paul, like, you're kidding.
Yeah.
And then she showed it to me, and I was like, it's kind of good. It's the only one that I really like.
Uh-huh.
But I think that it's a strange thing because there's so much working against Jake Paul.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know who he is.
His own brain.
Yeah. Who he is, his brain, what he says,
emotions.
What he does. Yeah. His general reputation. But for someone so shitty to put something out that's like, oh, well, maybe this is kind of good. It's mm-hmm. like, the cognitive dissonance.
Yeah. Well,
is
I mean,
a lot.
Like, a lot of singers don't write their own songs, so maybe someone wrote it for him.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I would be willing to bet that you are right.
Yeah. And as long as he can read a poem, he can pretty much rap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the poem is, "Fresh out of London, the bitch still got her accent." It's poetry.
I know. She's fresh out.
Yeah, she's fresh out of London. Also, there's a very notable line from a feature on It's Everyday Bro, where the English guy who used to be in Team 10 says, "England is my city."
Oh, yeah. That's very American of him.
Like, how did you? How was that greenlit?
Yeah.
You're British, dude.
It actually kind of does make sense that the Paul brothers heard that and they were like, that makes sense.
That's so gas. That's so fire.
Yes.
Yo, say that.
But Paul's output consists of 20 singles, and through his music and boxing stints, he has diversified his influencer portfolio.
We should start boxing and singing.
At the same time.
Yes!
It's super hard to maintain a note when you've just been punched in the neck. I will tell you that.
Hey, I'd like to try.
Yes. Athletes like Kobe Bryant, Deion Sanders, and Shaquille O'Neal all released music during their careers with varying degrees of success, as did the premier influencer Kim Kardashian in Jam, Turn It Up, a song she said was her biggest regret. And one that producer The Dream said wasn't about kicking off a singing career. It was really having the power of TV and goofing off. I would agree too. I remember that, but I can't.
It's my jam. Turn it up.
My brain has like blocked it out, like trauma.
Yeah, that's
you
fair.
Know, like getting in a car accident.
Well, Paris Hilton has music too.
But it's actually really fucking good. Stars Are Blind.
Yeah,
I would kill for that. Yeah.
What's the recent one where she had Kim B in the video?
Oh,
that one was good.
It
was like My Best Friend's Ass.
Paris Hilton discography.
I think that's what it's called. Staring at My Best Friend's Ass.
Wait, let me look it up.
Me on Spotify Wrapped having Shaquille O'Neal as my number one streaming artist.
Actually, I feel like that'd be really easy to do and like a fun thing.
You listen to it three times.
Wait, I wonder how many monthly listeners he has.
I'm looking it up.
So Paris Hilton's latest releases are Lone Wolves in 2019, I Blame You in 2020, and Zest Better Than Sex.
Find the My Best Friend's Ass.
My Best Friend's Ass? Oh, yeah. Best Friend's Ass. The lyrics are, "The bouncer was so hot. But honestly, that's not an excuse to be effing rude. Literally, what promoter are you with? As if I need a effing promoter to get in this club. No, like, literally, you don't deserve that. Ugh, why isn't my phone charging? Do you need to pee? Yeah, I have to pee. All right, let's go."
Me anytime I go to the club.
This was just like a free thought.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't even like sung. That is so crazy. I don't want to play this over. We have Shaquille O'Neal has 410,000 monthly listeners.
I want to play it.
Who are you people?
The rules are, there are no rules. You want to push me? Be my guest. You want to shove me around? Be my guest.
Now who the fuck is pushing Shaquille O'Neal? All right, I think we're...
I just want to hear the intro.
I'm coming in the mosh pit. I'm coming to the mosh pit. I'm giving you permission.
I can't even see it.
The diesel is coming, you little bitch.
I mean, it's pretty, it's music.
What the fuck?
Who the fuck is going up to Shaquille O'Neal and pushing him around? Could you imagine, like, that person is probably deranged.
Starting a mosh pit with Shaquille O'Neal, you're gonna die. You're dead. Oh, he died. Oh, game over.
I mean, that is definitely... I mean, like, I feel like EDM people probably like that.
Yeah, that's so, like, I am front row at... Don't look at my screen, guys. I'm front row at, like, EDC at, like a electronic... I'm headbanging over the barricade.
Yeah.
That's insane.
I know. I think that being at EDC is absolutely my worst nightmare.
I see that for you.
I'd be so overstimulated, covered in vomit.
Yes.
Shaquille
shaking.
Starts moshing. I'm like, oh, it's getting worse. Yeah. You know?
You're overstimulated, crying, vomiting when you see Shaquille O'Neal running at you full force, slow motion in a mosh pit. With that song playing in the background.
I accidentally end up Russian slapboxing.
Slap the fuck out of Shaquille O'Neal. Yes. Sorry, I was overwhelmed.
So moving along, can anyone with money and fame become a pop star?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. As the music industry continues to add more and more middlemen to its professional ranks, the average 3-minute song on the pop charts now takes 5 writers, not counting producers, engineers, musicians, and their agents.
That's an average?
Yeah, 5 people.
Like all the people on the top Billboard Top 100, like it takes 5 people to write, "You're obsessed with me." And so I took a second and I said, "Me too."
Well, I mean, like their hand gets cramped.
I guess that's true. I know. There's diarrhea bubbling in my stomach right now.
Please don't.
I'm just warning you. If I need to leave, you know what's up.
Yes. In the brand new studio.
Sorry, guys. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're in a new studio.
Yeah. Make it a mud run obstacle after we're done.
It's going to be unusable when we're done. So anyway, I didn't even fart.
No, I was just coughing.
Okay.
I like coughing like a little kid, but I've done it so many times, ironically, that I actually like stick out my tongue and I'm like.
That's good.
Yes. All right. Whatever.
Already well on its way. Oh, wait. Sorry. You were saying.
Yeah. The distance between the song and the singer widens.
Yeah. So with that many writers, and that's not even counting producers, engineers, musicians, and their agents, the distance between the song and the singer widens, which I agree. Already well on its way, songs may soon become completely commodified, produced by career songwriters and sold to singers who release it under their own name. Though some lament the commercialization of music, it's certainly not new. As soon as written music became secularized in the late Middle Ages, me and for the 1450s, yes. Like, I've written a jingle!
There's a Harry Styles from the 1450s.
Who do you think the, like...
He has all the maidens just, like, lining up around the
maidens
block.
Maidens going fucking crazy!
They throw their, like, corset up on the stage.
Then they get burned at the stake. Who was, like, the Lady Gaga of the Middle Ages?
I don't know.
I am farting, actually.
No!
It wasn't diarrhea, it's just gas.
I'm really hoping that it wouldn't be diarrhea.
Well, we were about to find out 3 seconds ago. The wealthy, back in the Middle Ages, so POV, you're a maiden.
Yeah.
You smell like fucking ass. You're riding a donkey.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Being called a witch, being like you have stones thrown at you. All you've had to eat today is mead and bread.
Yeah.
And you're on your way to the record store. Because the wealthy could buy access to musicians and composers for their own entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
TikTokers' debut singles are simply the most recent demonstrations of this system.
Uh-huh.
So Addison Rae on TikTok is just like a witch in the 1450s.
Yes.
That's like crazy.
Wonder when she's going to get burned at the stake.
Oh, I hope not.
I hope she doesn't.
Addison Rae, I wouldn't burn you at the stake.
And I wouldn't either.
That's kind of messed up. Hey, guys.
Don't burn people at the stake.
Stop burning people at the stake.
Yes.
Seriously, why isn't anyone talking about this?
I don't know. What if they like brought... No, actually, I want to talk about the death penalty. let's move on.
We're gonna rewind on that one.
Yeah. So access to musical instruments and the tools of the music industry has always been unequal. And as long as there is fame in this world, the influencer to singer pipeline will continue to operate.
Mm. So fame has been a staple in human history forever.
Yeah.
There's always been famous people.
I mean, everyone likes popular people.
You know, want to know why? Because we're sheeple.
Uh-huh.
We're shrimple. We're shrimp people.
Yes.
Ooh, I'm a shrimp.
I think you just, you know, you like people and then it like, you know, I don't know, it's you really love people.
But it's to a point that it's like, I now defer to this person for my opinions, for my identity.
Yeah.
I follow everything they do. I want to be them. Like, that's a level of fame and celebrity and cultiness that has always existed as well.
I don't think I've
Jesus.
Ever. Yeah. People followed him because they want to be him.
Yeah, they said he's so slay.
He only had 32 followers.
I thought he only had 12.
He's basically, oh shit, he died at 32. He had 12 followers.
He died at 33.
No, we've literally filmed a YouTube video like where
Fuck
we argued
you, dude.
This.
Have we?
Jesus Christ died at 32. Jesus is a Capricorn. Remember that?
They calculate the death of Jesus as having, oh. Wait, these are the years. When did Jesus die? What age?
And how?
Yes. Yeah. Oh shit, what happened to this dude? Wait, that's so sad.
Jesus died at 32.
No, dude, that's basically like being 60 back then.
Which is wild because if you had divine healings.
I know. If he didn't get crucified at that point, he probably wouldn't got like.
He would like go to Jesus and be like, I have fucking leprosy, dude. And yeah. He was like, you're healed. Mm-hmm. And you die at 40? What kind of bullshit is that?
Yeah, the idea of like God having like dysentery and dying because of it.
That is, I don't want to be made in his image.
Yeah.
Jesus could have died of having diarrhea flakes in the water. Of having non-clean water. So, how many times am I going to Google when did Jesus die?
Jesus died at 32. It literally... Jesus. Dude, I used to be so stupid, though. I was like, how did they crucify him if he was a baby? Because I thought, if he's born in December and they crucified him in, like, March, I'm like, oh, my God, he was 3 months old.
Like, he didn't even have a lot. What did he do? He couldn't talk.
I completely forgot that, like, years go by. Mm. And I know that, like, it's not even correct that Jesus' birthday was in, like, December. It's just like, but I just have to clarify that now because I know the YouTube comments are going to be like, he wasn't actually born in December.
Yeah, all the theologians in the comments are going to be like...
Well, actually.
Don't you feel stupid?
And I do.
Yeah. But people like Addison Rae and Charli D'Amelio, who were just making TikToks for fun, are now millionaires. Now these stars have already made it big on TikTok. Many of them are trying to make it big in the music industry, but why?
Half of these TikTokers have no experience doing anything involving music. And now suddenly they're big on TikTok and they get a huge record deal. It doesn't seem fair to the musicians who have worked their entire lives to get the opportunities that popular TikTokers have gotten without even really working for them. I think that this is an age-old issue.
Mm-hmm.
Even back into like the 60s, 70s, 80s, the only thing that will propel you to fame before the democratization of TikTok was connections and knowing people and knowing who to give your CD to, who to give your record to, and doing someone a favor and all that shit. It has never been about the music.
Yeah.
And so I think that is to be said, that the music industry in itself is so corrupt and so fucked up and not about the art at all. And it's so not pro-artist.
Yeah.
We see that repeatedly over and over again of how musicians are stripped of the rights to their own music.
Yeah.
They have to buy them back or re-record the tracks. How they go bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
How labels own their whole lives. And so this isn't a new phenomenon is really what I'm trying to point out. But it's insane to have it happen to TikTokers now.
Yeah.
Want to be even more famous? And it's like, well, I never considered a career in music, but sure. That's how it happened with Dixie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, that's the same for, like, I feel like most of the entertainment industry, like, that's why most of the Stranger Things cast and American Horror Story are all, like, nepotism babies.
Mm.
So it's just, like, who you know at a certain point.
Which we knew that about Hollywood, but it just is upsetting to see.
Yeah.
So
it truly is.
I feel like we have a unique perspective on that as well because
we don't know anyone.
We don't know anyone. We have no social skills. Yes. And we can't legally drive.
Yes.
But we both went viral and developed an audience from an incredibly grassroots way.
Yes.
Like this was not, oh, I want to be an influencer so bad. It's like we both got fired from our full-time jobs.
Yeah.
And I think that offers a different perspective that's a very interesting one because the more that I meet people and the more that I'm in Hollywood, it's like we are the rarities.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I know. Like I used to hang out with someone. Well, that makes it sound so sad. But like it's crazy. Like in Hollywood, literally everyone is related to and knows everyone.
It's the smallest city in the world.
Yeah, it truly is. And like someone's dad like owns, you know, Def Jam Records, and then their mom owns like 30 like Buick dealerships, and they went to high school with Doja Cat, and you're like, oh, okay, that's why I was wondering why you were so successful, and you're like a senior social writer for Vogue, but you're literally 24,
and you're a millionaire.
Yeah, dude, you have the connections.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's true for like every industry. I feel like, and it's not fair, but it's what happens.
Yeah. It explains, and this is kind of a tangent, but like those people that are on TikTok, like, how I furnish my 3,200 square foot apartment in New York City.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, you have rich parents. Say that. Say that you have rich parents.
Oh, yeah, dude. Those articles where it's like, how I saved $200,000 right after college. And then everyone's like looking for the money shot. And the money shot is, my parents gave me $200,000 after college.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's I wish people were just more honest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty obvious that they're only really in the music industry because of the money. Going back to TikTokers, and that might not necessarily be their fault. I wouldn't say it's their fault. If it makes money, it makes money.
Yeah, and I know that. I mean, these kids are young, impressionable. Money is the goal.
Yeah,
I guess. And they're being pushed into a lot of things that they probably never really would have considered or wanted to do.
Yeah,
but it's these higher ups that are like, oh, this is the next logical move. And it was a big push. I mean, with like Nessa Barrett, Jaden, people like that, where it's like, we need to capitalize on this TikTok talent.
Yeah.
And it really makes me happy when I see TikTokers like that. I think Nessa and Jaden are great examples. Whatever, you know, drama that has circulated about their personal lives, it's on TikTok Room and all that, I don't keep up with it. But I enjoy their music.
Yeah.
Like, I do. I even enjoy Lil Huddy's music sometimes. And it's like, that is a really cool thing to be like, you have this whole personality and tea and people shit on you because you're hot and successful for just being hot. And then now you also have musical talent. That slays.
Yeah.
Like, I can't sit here and hate on you.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I think that it's a weird thing that Addison and Dixie aren't seen as musicians. They're seen as TikTokers who tried music.
Yeah.
And Nessa and Jaden and even Bella Porch are seen as TikTokers who turned into musicians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, what's the deciding factor?
I'm not sure if it's even separated by like talent or like maybe I have no idea what divides them.
Yeah, I would say talent, but I don't want to be that naive.
Yeah.
I would hope it would be talent.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Nessa and Jaden have made songs that relate to people on some level.
Yeah.
Than just like, sometimes I don't know when to be happy. You know, it's like, I don't think that is hitting the way you thought it would.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it also has to do with production. If you can score a fantastic producer to do something for you and then make you sound super fucking sick, then like, period.
True.
Anyway, when Addison, back to Addison, when she performed Obsessed on Jimmy Fallon for the first time, she received a ton of hate, and also she wasn't singing.
Oh, yeah.
So people shit on her for that, too. It was lip syncing. And she just danced for all of it.
Yeah.
And so it was like, it was just upsetting because it's like, you are the most followed person, one of the most followed people. You couldn't like do something like ground shaking and life altering and like make a really good piece of media for people to consume and then go on something like Late Night with Jimmy Fallon and like just rock it.
Yeah.
It was just like, we've seen Pretty White Girls do this.
Mm-hmm.
Show us something new.
It's just lazy.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It's lazy, but people, it's the tried and true formula and people know it works.
Yeah. When Dixie D'Amelio released her first song, it was made fun of. I was going to say, Addison Rae, that's like her. Remember when people like tore Ashley Simpson apart?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why like lip singing is so normalized that like we put Ashley Simpson through like probably hell and back.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But when Dixie D'Amelio released her first song, it was made fun of for, of course, for like a couple weeks on TikTok. It seems though, although making music might be making D'Amelio and Rae more money, the only reason people are listening to it is to make fun of it. That's literally true. I mean, you got your 15 friends together to ironically listen to Jake Paul.
Yeah.
And it made them music.
Yes. And it's millions upon millions of views and streams on this piece of content because we're all like, is it this bad?
You're like ironically consuming something to like, the reason why these people are millionaires is because of a joke.
Yeah.
You know, that's insane to me. You know, it's a bit that we're giving them millions of dollars.
Yes. It literally is. And then labels are like, this is doing really well. Let's do it again. And then it doesn't hit the same. And then they become irrelevant.
Yeah.
Like that. Labels, you have to understand post irony.
Mm-hmm.
Record labels, listen to us. You have got to understand how bits live and die on the internet and they're never to be resurfaced again.
Mm-hmm.
Bad publicity. Hello?
You're like me. You're just like me.
Blad publicity. It's still publicity. And people making blad and bladison blad and blixy to brilio. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Bad publicity. Bad publicity is still publicity. And I think that is very true for all famous people everywhere.
Yeah.
But it's especially true for TikTokers because TikTok is so new and shiny to us. And when Dixie's song was all over TikTok, it gave us more of a reason to listen to it, whether it's to laugh at it, to see how bad it really is, or to make a TikTok making fun of it. Mm-hmm. You're still using the audio when you do that. So this is still giving Addison and Dixie and their team exactly what they wanted, which is more money and more eyes on them. When Dixie started releasing music, people noticed her Spotify listeners were very high for someone who had only released two songs. In December of 2020, Dixie D'Amelio had more monthly listeners than Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, Pearl Jam, and Alice in Chains.
Okay, but I feel like that's four examples where, like, it doesn't really help you gauge. I mean, those are all popular bands, but they were popular bands from, like, the 80s and 90s.
Right. And their impact is not threatened or diminished by what Dixie was doing.
Yeah.
This is purely from a numbers standpoint.
I would love if they gave, like, four pop equivalents.
Right.
Like, if you're, like, Addison or Dixie has
Ariana Grande.
Yeah, or, like, Charlie XCX. If they're, like, they have the same numbers as Charlie XCX, that's when I would be like, oh, shit, this is a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they did that for a reason. I mean, this is jarring.
They know that their audience is older.
Right.
Yes.
Well, and people aren't giving fucking Pearl Jam a billion streams a month.
You don't know me, but I love Alice in Chains. I fucking love Pearl Jam and Alice in Chains. I was going to go on a grunge tour of Seattle, but then I got COVID, so I had to cancel it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to reschedule that. I love Alice in Chains.
Hey, do it. I think it's also something to be said that a lot of this music is, like, physical.
Yeah.
Tapes, CDs, records, you know, like, streams are a big part, but this is such a... This was culture-defining music.
Can you imagine having Addison Rae on vinyl?
I'm sure they sold them. My vintage Addison Rae 2020.
But it's just like one record. Of those small vinyls. I don't know how many like songs she put out.
Just one.
Comes with a kid's meal at McDonald's. Honestly, that'd be pretty smart.
Addison Rae, X McDonald's, X Morphe collab, X Jeffree Star, X James Charles.
There are some TikTokers who at least seem to be taking their career in music more seriously than others. So it's clearly a popular sentiment and marks the growing resentment among TikTok fans towards influencers who try to start music careers. Yeah, I feel like it's just like, it's so, like it, you just shit all over them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, it comes back to this question of like taste and did this person put time, effort, and like work into this?
Uh-huh.
Is it something that makes sense for their brand? Is it something that, you know, they've teased before online? Mm-hmm. Or is this just out of the blue? Hey, guys, my single.
Yeah.
And it's like that is a little more hard to palate
mm-hmm.
versus when you've established that there's that talent there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's interesting the way that some people do it. And it's has everything to do with how it's received. Is if you have put the work in of like, I am good at music. I'm good at singing. Look at what I made. Mm-hmm. And the people are like, drop the album. Please drop a single. Drop a single. Like, build up hype for it.
Yeah.
Instead of just like, hey, guys, I signed a fucking Sony Records. Let's do it.
Yeah.
And it's like, what?
Why? It kind of reminds me of this. I think this is going to be a similar podcast topic when influencers write books.
Yeah.
And you're like, you didn't. Why would you do this?
What do you have to say that you wanted to put in text and print forever?
Exactly. Why would you write this? Like Gabby Hanna,
Tyler Oakley, Shane Dawson.
And who's that curious? I feel like you could just watch your YouTube channel and get the gist, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know why you need a book. I don't know why you need a song.
It's just navel gazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I'm really important and everyone needs to hear what I have to say.
Yeah.
And it's like, do they, girl? And how is every, maybe I just don't understand this, how is every book a New York Times number one bestseller?
I think enough people buy it. It doesn't mean like it's actually like a good book.
What, number one New York Times bestseller?
I feel like that title has lost its meaning.
I agree, but you know, like, that's what I'm saying is like, well, then what the fuck does it mean?
It's like J.D. Power so shit award. You're like, what does it even mean anymore?
It's like employee of the month, but yeah. You work at Wendy's.
Yes, McWendy's.
McWendy's. McWendy Beast.
They sell corn dogs.
Yeah.
Fruit by the foot.
Ooh, deep fried fruit by the foot.
Yes. Around the corn dog.
Can I have that with extra butter?
In ranch.
Ordered Buffalo Wild Wings last night, and the ranch tubs are so, like, averagely sized. And yeah. I was used to having big ones, and I was like, I'm going to run out of ranch. I was like, it's so American.
With your two wings in your hands.
Oh, I'm going to run out of ranch.
And, like, all of it slathered around your mouth.
My gut sticking out. That episode of SpongeBob, who ate my chocolate? It's all around his mouth. Yes. I'm going to starve. That's how I feel.
Do you want to talk about the TikTok bubble?
I would love to talk about the TikTok bubble. And honestly, I might want to make a little phone call to Stanley.
Uh-huh.
Because he has some, like, a very good perspective on this. And Stanley's right about a lot of things.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to internet culture, because he does our research.
Mm-hmm.
So the TikTok bubble says that internet fame in general is temporary, as we know, and fleeting. But nothing is more fleeting and uncertain than TikTok fame. The stars themselves are likely to be the first to admit that they don't know why they blew up to such an extent. And virality on TikTok is so random that it's impossible to predict their growth or decline with any degree of certainty. Obviously, from a career or business perspective, this doesn't have much longevity. And for that reason, these influencers with an overnight following have to convert their temporary TikTok fame into something more likely to last. Now, when this happens, what that might be diversifying their content,
mm-hmm.
you know, like maybe they're acting now.
Yeah.
Maybe they're doing skits. Maybe they're, you know, it's not just thirst traps. Like, give us something else.
Yeah.
That starts to happen. Or circle theory is something that I want to introduce, and I want to call Stanley because he can explain it better. It's these people like Alex Weber
uh-huh.
or Emma Lou, RIP, that whole Emma Lou fucking story. Or these people that just, Mooptopia, do you remember her?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Emily, I forget her name, the girl that used to put those little baby dinosaurs in her mouth and, like, she had really pretty eyes and she'd be under the sheets. Like,
Charles?
What the fuck? Yeah. These people that just, like, blew up overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And people love them because they're underground. And then, you know what? I'm going to call Stanley.
Yeah, it's like how, usually when since I've been on the internet so long, I think I have my own thing. Before I start to like someone, I need the internet. Usually for a girl, gets about 3 months of like people liking them unconditionally. A guy usually gets about 6 months.
Yeah.
And so then at that point, the 3 and the 6 month mark, people start to dig up things on them.
Yep.
And then that's what tests to see if they have longevity, if they can survive that. And then if they can't survive that, they fall off or they just continue on and they make content and then it'll happen again usually in a couple of like years.
Yeah. And it's yeah. just it's a never-ending cycle.
Mm-hmm. So we're calling Stanley our research assistant
we're
now.
We're calling Stanley, a white man.
Your call has been forwarded to an
and during Pride Month?
Are you serious?
Oh my god.
You're
but
so
I think
fake.
We understand the idea of like circle theory.
Yeah. Where it becomes a trend to hate on them and then they at that point get just like so stupidly famous that it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And then they're forgotten about, like mm-hmm. you said.
That's true.
Anyway, a whole other part of this equation is that the type of music, oh my god, I could fucking rant about this for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah.
The type of music that we hear on the top 100
mm-hmm.
is so fucking I'm Mad at Disney,
mm-hmm.
ABCDEFU.
Yeah.
That type of music. I just saw a TikTok on it today that was like, Mary had a bit of them. Fuck you, Chad. Fuck you, Chad. You cheated on me. Like something like that. It's just like, it's this recipe of something really childish and catchy, something we all know that's like, they think they're sampling it. It's going to be
yeah.
all cool. And then it's just some cheesy, go, let's go, girls.
Yeah.
Something like that to like activate what they think is the teen audience.
Yeah.
And it just, to me, is cringe. Maybe I'm just not in that direct
no, I think it
teen
is
teen target anymore.
No, it's cringy because it's like, think about it in like joke format. Like, it's like when Bay is.
Yes.
And then that's like the, you know, the children's nursery rhyme and is the equivalent of when Bay is. You're
yes.
just changing out the end. It's like, it's actually not creative, you
yeah.
know?
Well, and it's also like, that shit used to be funny.
Yeah.
And, well, Never to me. Mm-hmm. We're elite. Yeah. But on Vine, that was Vine humor.
Yeah.
When Bay says, I can hit it from behind.
Yeah.
And then it's some song that's like, I'm going to fuck you in the ass.
Yeah.
Or well, whatever. It's like.
But that means like, do you think that the A, B, C, D, E, F, U thing could eventually become like post irony?
Oh, 100%.
It's going to be crazy. Like, people are listening to it ironically now.
Yes.
But in, like, 10 years, we're going to dig that up, and we're going to be like, does anyone remember this?
Call Me Maybe, Carly Rae Jepsen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
People are like, I love Carly Rae Jepsen. Now, now, Carly Rae Jepsen's being booked at festivals.
Well, Carly Rae Jepsen is really, really good.
Well, yeah, period. But that song way back when, I remember being like, because it was cool to hate women back then.
Dude,
we've grown so much.
We bullied Rebecca Black when she wrote Friday. She was 13 fucking years old.
She was a middle schooler.
There were grown-ass men, like, just tearing her down and, like, insulting her appearance. And I'm like, this girl is 13.
Yeah.
Even if the song absolutely sucks, you have to be, like, absolutely, like, a dickbag to just roast a 13-year-old.
Yeah. So here's the thing that I really wanted to address.
Wait, it would be kind of like funny. I mean, you said it's like easy to make music, to see an influencer pivot to like classical or like symphonies.
That would be incredible.
You see Addison Rae standing in front of the, you know, San Francisco Philharmonic.
Yeah, in just, one of those penguin suits.
Yeah, but her dances like conduct the actual show. That'd be kind of, I'd be like, oh shit, Addison.
I would buy a ticket.
I know. She's like, didn't even, and they're actually playing to like her hand motions.
Yes. Okay, so I'm trying to say that it has become so democratized, the process of making music. Anyone with a computer can make a song. You can download software from the internet. Fucking GarageBand comes installed on your MacBook already.
Mm-hmm.
You can and have the means to make the next big hit.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of producers and a lot of, you know, these people that are on the top 100 follow this formula of the ABCDEFU that's like a simple, catchy, I hate men, like the most basic, relatable, you didn't put any effort into it sort of song. It goes viral. You make a song to it on TikTok. You get a famous person to use the audio on TikTok. It's done. You're famous.
Mm-hmm.
I resent that so much because I'm lucky enough on my TikTok For You page, I see some of the most talented vocalists, some of the most talented instrumentalists, some of the craziest instruments I've never even seen. And these people are wizards at it.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple composers, Jake127 or whatever his username is, that created the piano riff intro to What It Sounds Like When You Fall in Love.
Yeah.
That was completely from TikTok. He made that. It went viral. He would go live on TikTok and try out new pieces. Like, he's a piano player. That's insane. That's so cool. That is now on Spotify and you can listen to it. I want to see those people succeed the way that Daisy DeMelio has.
Yeah.
And I know that that's an idealized version of the world and it'll never be like that. And, you know, this is a systematic thing and whatever. But I try to give those people a bit of my platform because I relate to that. You know, it's like, I don't know why I went viral.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the imposter syndrome talking, but it's also like, I want to extend my arm to those people that I really fucking love.
Yeah.
And I do. You know, like when I find someone that I'm like, good for them, they have a single on Spotify. I watched them sing this on TikTok. They uploaded it. It went viral. They released it on Spotify. Now they're signed to a label. That's so fucking cool, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really, really neat.
Yeah. I understand that. I usually like doing that with like influencers who do comedy who have like less than 50,000. If they like consistently post funny stuff, I try to like share that on my Instagram or like my Twitter or something like that because I feel like more people deserve to see it.
Yeah. It just sucks that we have to be that, you know? It's like their talent should propel them.
Yeah.
Not people throwing them a bone. Mm-hmm. That's insane.
I know. Maybe you should do what you do for Logan Paul and stuff and just get fit. Get 15 of your friends to hate watch it.
I should, yeah. To love watch it.
Love watch it, yeah.
You're like, you're really annoying.
Just gather around. This is really great.
Isn't this really great, guys? Aren't we having a good time?
You know that thing of where like you show someone like a clip of something and you keep watching their face to see if they're like laughing.
Me with Jake Paul.
Yeah.
Me, but like, I love this video of Jake Paul.
No, like, let me replay it. You didn't hear that, yeah.
It's really funny.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks to the wonders of post-production, it's not hard to shoehorn an influencer who would perhaps otherwise have never attempted music into the role of a pop star. Because I would argue 80% of being a pop star is the look.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what's insane is that these people don't have the charm.
Yeah.
Like, Dixie and Charlie are such nice girls. Like, I've met both of them. They're really nice, and they're so young. But it's also like, where's the charm?
Yeah.
Charlie's so cute, mm-hmm. and she has handled the fame so well yes. for someone who I can't fucking imagine mm-hmm. having 100 million plus followers all over the world. Mm-hmm. I can't. What, dude? She's, like, so young as well. But for Dixie, it's like, you are a pop star.
Yeah.
Where's the charisma?
I don't know. I feel like that also shows in, like, sort of, like, stage performance and, like, stage presence. Sorry, yeah. I think they're really nice, but I don't think that they have the stage presence for it.
Yeah. And I don't think that that's a dig or that's not us being hateful. I think that is part of the equation to be
mm-hmm.
a world-dominating star.
Yeah, exactly. Because
you have to be likable in that sense as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a strange thing because a lot of these TikTok kids, what is it about? You can talk to the camera, but you can't talk to people.
Uh-huh.
Like, you're more comfortable being alone and talking to a camera, which some people really struggle with.
For me, it's probably autism. But I'm getting diagnosed. Don't worry. Dude, yeah. It takes 5 fucking months. The wait list.
That is stupid.
And my friend was like, it's $5,000.
Oh!
And all at the end of the day, they're just going to be like, you have autism. Isn't that crazy?
Why $5,000?
It's just like super fucking expensive. But yeah, I mean, I'm really good with cameras, but when it comes to people, like, we had our live show, I like literally had to go to the doctor and get like medication because my brain will shut off and I'll go like stress blind.
But sitting alone talking to a camera, you're completely fine.
Yeah, because I can't see the crowd, you know? Mm. I can tell, like, I can literally fart into my TikTok live and like describe like how I took a nap with a butt plug in and now my poop just falls out of my ass. But the idea of... literally looking at 500 people. By the way, that happened yesterday. And I'm still suffering the consequences. But like,
what did you do?
It was Pride Month.
It wasn't.
Oh, it wasn't. That was just any old Tuesday.
It was just May 31st.
I just, you know, when you have like a cravings, I just put a butt plug up my butt, obviously.
And you shitted?
No, I took a nap. And then when I pulled it out, I guess, well, I didn't have to shit because I pulled it out. It just, since the hole was just so big for so long, that like when I poop, it just kind of falls out. I think this is pretty relatable for some people.
Hey guys, leave us a comment below if you've ever, that relatable moment when your hole is so big, poop falls out. Man.
It's like I gauged my butt, you know? Ooh, imagine like a, you know, like how they do like 1 inch or like half inch like gauges. They like do the
you
same.
You put a little lock in it. Yeah,
they do the same sizing for butt plugs. I'm at about a 1 inch right now. I'm trying to make it up to 2.
Oh, your butthole being 1 inch wide?
I mean, I would say with the, you know what? I think at most yesterday it was actually probably, at like an inch and a half wide.
That sounds like a war scene in your room.
You poop. Not your butthole opens
my
up.
My butthole in 2 inches wide. Yes. Contrary to popular belief. I hear what you guys say about me.
I was about to say, what about when you give birth? And then I
my butthole. When mommy shitted me out.
All right.
That's what I used to think happened as a kid.
That your parents would just poop you out?
Yeah. That having a kid is just having like a really painful doo-doo.
Yeah. I mean, I imagine it probably is.
But out of your butthole?
I know.
That's not... Someone corrected me at the ripe age of 22.
Yes.
I was like, wait, what happened?
That person, Addison Rae.
That person, Hank Green.
Yes. He stitched my video and he corrected me.
Me being like, do babies get shitted out? And being like, he zooms in really quick. I love this question.
Yeah. I think that what scares me the most about like childbirth is everything. But also like... My partner, now that I'm gay, I guess like my partner watching me poop on a table probably wouldn't be that weird. I just feel like, I don't know. I don't want to poop in front of anyone like looking like that.
Yeah.
Like
there's
pooping.
Something very embarrassing about childbirth.
I don't mind like, you know, when you're talking to someone and you guys like, you know, in the same bathroom while someone's pooping.
Yeah.
But like to have your legs up and spread and they just, I mean, like you poop because you're pushing so hard.
Yeah.
I imagine all care goes out the window because, you know, there's a child come out of you.
Well, it's just, I have always thought, since I learned about childbirth.
Yeah.
A couple months ago.
Yes.
I was like, that must be the most excruciating pain anyone has ever gone through.
Yeah, probably.
Like, without the marvels of modern medicine,
uh-huh.
How the fuck back to those stoned women in the 1450s.
Yeah.
Now, what's going on there?
But the thing is like, people back in the day used to give birth by, like, squatting, because that's the most natural position. Yeah. The reason why women lay on their backs is because, like, a certain king wanted to watch.
That's insane!
Men are disgusting perverts, and they just leave women alone.
Just let me crouch over a hole and deliver my child.
Exactly. No, but honestly, like, squatty potty is, like, I imagine could really have aided in childbirth, like, back in the 1500s.
That's insane to think about.
I know.
Also, I don't know what a midwife is.
A midwife is like the person who has sex with your husband while you're giving birth. Dude, I found out.
Your husband's like, oh no, he's just getting top.
I can't fuck her because she's on the table.
Yeah.
That's disgusting to think about. But I found out what a wet nurse was.
Now, what the fuck is a wet nurse?
It's like a nurse who like breastfeeds your baby. So, like, a baby is breastfeeding off of someone else.
I thought a wet nurse was just in a swimsuit in the pool. Yeah, birth, like, home births in the bathtub. She's just, like, doing great, swimming around.
She's, like, aquamarine. She has to be in a bathtub of water, or she can't breathe.
Wet nurse.
But, hell, she still watches my child.
God damn, she can swim. A wet nurse is a woman who breastfeeds and cares for... So, what? What?
I know.
How... If you handed me a child right now and said breastfeed, I don't have milk.
Well, if a child suckling, like latching, could like stimulate that in your boobs. Also, like.
No way.
I know, like, yeah. If your baby, like.
But I'm not hormonal. I'm not making milk.
I mean, me neither. I'm just like. Wait, how to make milk?
How to. Can I milk myself?
How to make breast milk.
WikiHow, milk yourself.
You can start pumping. You can, it says, use the right breast pump, make yourself comfortable. Oh, this is how to make, like, someone who is already, like, boob milking. What's it called?
Wet nursed children may be known as milk siblings.
Can you imagine how complicated that gets? You have, like, step wet siblings.
Oh, yeah.
My wet siblings? That sounds so unusual.
They're linked by a special relationship of milk kinship. You know what? This is going to be one of those fucking historical things that we're like, oh, that's funny. And it's like the most horrifying, life-threatening, like, because a lot of wet nurses were black women.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of those things that's like such a terrible tragedy of a history.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know why they still use that term.
Because they're feeding it milk. But the thing is, I also think, do we apply that to, like, any other restaurant that, like, they feed their children? Like, can we be McDonald's sisters?
Oh, surely.
Yeah. So if we can be, like, milk sisters, why can't we be?
Mickey D's sisters. Yes. Mackey Don's.
But let's go back to TikTokers making music.
Okay. If you insist.
Well, I guess think of wet nurses as someone who writes songs for TikTokers, but with their brain and not their breasts.
Right.
Yes.
Handing off your metaphorical child that is a song to a wet nurse.
So it can suckle on your talent to teats.
Right.
And then you hand it back to the...
Hey, that's a great...
The mother who can't create.
Right.
Aww.
Aww.
Yeah. All right. But so we've circled back. All right. So TikTok is now intrinsically linked with the music industry. The app has the power to make songs go viral in a big way out of the blue. And with almost every video having a song at least in the background, it's quite literally the glue that holds the app together.
Yeah.
I would definitely agree. I have to burp.
If someone with a huge pre-existing following releases a song that blows up internally within that person's fan base.
Yeah.
Yeah. The chances are that it will start to leak out onto the rest of the platform, giving it a good chance of going viral on a global scale.
That's true.
That is true. And that is also one of the pillars of what makes this work, is that you are no longer a struggling musician booking open mic nights, singing at coffee shops, handing out your CD on the side of the fucking road.
Yeah.
Or like opening for people. This is like, you can do it all from the comfort of your house.
Yeah.
You can go viral all from the comfort of your house. Have 7 million followers. Do this, do that. And you never have to leave. And you can sign to a record label without ever having to put in the work that traditional artists could have. And it's this thing, too, that relates to a lot of people who find success online. You've talked previously about comedians, traditional comedians, resenting
social media comedians because it seems relatively easy for us and we didn't have to pay our dues the way that they did.
Yeah.
I think the same can be said for musicians. People that have been struggling to find fame and success in music since the 80s and 90s or even further back resent these kids that are just like, I've got this tune in my head, and they bang out a little something on guitar and piano and make a song on their MacBook.
Yeah.
And it has a billion streams. Mm-hmm. Like, people resent that, but it's also like that you just didn't have the tools that these kids have. I don't think it's a difference in talent.
You can also do it. I mean, probably not to like the probably not everyone can like actually go viral, but you can also do what they're doing.
Right.
And I think like a lot of people in traditional media just honestly refuse to go on social media. It's crazy, like living
it's a hindrance.
Yeah, dude. Living in Hollywood, there are so many people who are like act like social media is like the bane of their existence. I went to a Facebook creator party and I was talking to someone in like line and they work for like a music company and I was like, are you on TikTok? And they're like, no. And they kind of like talked down to me and I was like, you work in music and you're not on TikTok?
You are missing the fucking point of the music career.
Actually, you're just bad at your job.
Yeah.
And there's also like when you talk about like the comedians, like I talked to a comedian who I love. He he like does a lot of things at the Laugh Factory, which is huge in LA. But like literally to get on stage at the Laugh Factory, you have to first work the doors. And like literally work your way through the building. And I guess if you have to do that and all these comedians do this and then they see people just from social media like immediately blowing up, it's like, dude, just because you were treated like shit doesn't mean like
doesn't
everyone
mean we
else
have to be.
Yeah, you if you don't want to get on social media, you're hindering yourself, you know? But yes, exactly. I understand that they start to resent them, but a lot of them don't realize that they can also utilize social media and choose not to.
So we're going to talk about gaining legitimacy through social media and how do you cross over that cringe barrier. So TikTokers are trying to break into the music industry to garner legitimacy. Outside of the TikTok bubble, it's no secret that people generally look down on those who are famous on the app for doing viral dances and lip syncing because it doesn't take talent or skill. Therefore, it's reasonable that these influencers are looking for a way to convert their image into something more palatable for the mainstream media. Nessa Barrett and Jaden Hossler performed on both Jimmy Kimmel Live and The Ellen Show, but were presented as musicians rather than just TikTok stars. Mm-hmm. Now that is key.
Yeah.
How you're introduced. Like how, and that is by design, by the way, because they say, how do you want us to bring you out? How do you want us to intro you?
Yeah.
And it's not, you know her from TikTok. She's like they specific her, their PR people were like, introduce them as musicians.
Yeah, I mean, you've done that in the past on this podcast where, you know, I'm talking about which title is more embarrassing, like podcast host or YouTuber. And then you said, you know, we're comedians. Mm-hmm. And that's less embarrassing and more legitimate to be introduced like as that.
It's all about self-branding.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, within this group of influencers turned musicians, there are inevitable differences in talent. Some met with praise while others are being called out by those who feel their sudden focus on a music career is disingenuous, forced, and a cheap money grab. Which is true. At the end of the day, at least with the current wave of social media stars attempting to break through with music, they still are seen as part of the stain that is the TikToker to musician pipeline. Really great wording, Stanley.
Yes. So Stanley says, let's talk about the influencer to pop star pipeline, mic drop music. Perks of becoming an influencer before you take on bigger career paths is that you'll have a large audience always behind you, whether it ends up being good or bad. Yeah, I think that's what... like we were talking about, I'm talking about like getting into like stand-up comedy and I have like what's crazy is I need stage practice. Like I need to actually physically practice on the stage because I have the audience. I'm not worried about that. Like it's just like I have social anxiety and like sensory issues. So I don't need to be performing in front of 500 people. I want to do stand-up sets in like coffee shops and like I want to bomb a couple times. I want to like do it
it's
in
relatively low risk.
Yeah, just to get like because it's very much for me the cart before the horse.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't actually have the experience, and so I need to experience, you know, just the shitty stuff before I feel like I'm prepared for like a large audience.
But you have the skill, which is the most important part.
I do, and I definitely have like years of material, but like I just need to get used to talking to a crowd, honestly. Yeah. But this is anyone can sing, but the real talent is can anyone sing? I don't think that's right.
But yes, it is right.
You literally can sing.
Because with the help of post-production and auto-tune and all that, anyone can fucking sing.
Oh, I was thinking just the ability to open your mouth and probably, like, sing something.
Yeah, anyone can make noise.
But the real talent is behind the scenes, the writing, the instrumental, the real creating. These influencers have the ability to get in touch with the greatest people in the industry. Mm. Some people question whether these social media stars are just buying their way into the music world.
That's key. Mm-hmm. These influencers have the ability to get in touch with the greatest people in the industry. That is... never before heard of.
Yeah. I mean, I know, I'm not even in music, but I know a fuck ton of musicians just because they like my stuff. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if I reached, like, I could just get their connections as well. Mm-hmm. So I imagine, like, these people with 100 million followers, like, who the fuck they could potentially be connected to.
Yeah.
And then also their team sets them up with someone. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's cool. Mm-hmm. It's cool, but it's, I'm just so excited. Like, a lot of these topics we discuss on this podcast, I'm excited for in 20 years when they're being discussed in sociology classes.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
I don't,
like,
even think we have to wait 20 years.
I agree. Truthfully. People are already doing, like, academic analyses on what's happening.
Mm-hmm. I would love to see, like, how quickly, like, marketing classes have to churn out, like, social media textbooks. Because, oh God, I feel like the examples become so dated immediately.
Yes. I mean, imagine, like, reading a book like that in a comm class from 2015.
Yeah.
That is a different lifetime.
I know. They have, like, planking, and then they have, I took a marketing class on, like, virality, and there was one where it's, like, United broke my guitar. United, you broke my Taylor guitar. So that was, like, a huge thing. This guy went on a flight, and United broke his guitar, and then it went viral at that time. Uh-huh. And they use that as the example in class. And meanwhile, like, there's, you know, Vine is happening,
right,
and YouTube, and more YouTube things are happening. It's like, this is actually dated, and it was, right, only a couple years ago.
Right. Well, that's the thing, too, is, like, the book is being published in 2015. They've been doing research in probably 2012.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's so much to write
about. You can't keep up. Yeah.
Exactly. Sorry, McGraw-Hill.
Yeah, sorry, McGraw-Hill, you're bankrupt. Yes. You're out of fucking business. You should have a 14-year-old writing resumes for you.
So there is a difference, like we said earlier, between influencers to musicians and musicians that are influencers. Mm-hmm. There's a notable difference between online celebrities who have found their success online by creating content and shifting towards the music industry. And there are musicians who have found fame online, who have an online following from their music they shared online. Many of these musicians become influencers because creating content outside of music as well. Mm-hmm. And you see that a lot of times with, like, Doja Cat. Doja Cat is obviously, she is of the internet, but she also is a huge fucking musician.
An incredibly talented musician.
But she'll come on TikTok and just shitpost.
Yeah.
And
Lil Nas X. Mm-hmm. Same deal.
Well, Lil Nas X is from Twitter. I didn't know that
he's from the internet.
He ran, like, a Nicki Minaj stan account.
Yeah.
That is so fucking crazy.
He's a borb.
So here's some famous examples of music influencers like Conan Gray, Madison Beer, Doja Cat,
Nico.
Yes, MXM, Toon, JoJo Siwa, Duncan.
Say, happy Pride Month, JoJo Siwa specifically.
She's gay.
What's up?
Olivia Rodrigo, Sabrina Carpenter, Jacob Sartorius. Oh my God, Melanie Martinez, Lizzo, Phineas, Billie Eilish, Shawn Mendes, and Charlie Puth.
And so many more.
And then there's examples of influencers who turned into musicians like Bella Porch, who actually, I think their music is really fucking good.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. She's actually a really decent singer.
Today.
And then Nessa Barrett, Baby Ariel, Addison Rae, Dixie D'Amelio, Lil Huddy, Lauren Gray, Paul Brothers, KSI, Lele Pons.
And Jaden.
We will have to say, though, Brittany and I both admitted this, Lele Pons has one good song. Was it?
Celoso.
It is so fucking catchy. That's I good. Love it.
And you know what? That was really hard to say.
That was really hard to say. That's harder to say than I'm an alcoholic. I show up to AA and I'm like, hey guys, I'm a Lele Pons stan.
She's like, hey guys, I'm fine. You guys are all fucking losers.
And then they get me on the road to recovery. The 12 steps. I ask for forgiveness from my friends and family.
You write Lele Pons a note.
Yes.
Yeah. This list is controversial.
Mm-hmm.
Why
is it controversial?
Because this whole conversation of which I would argue some of these people are legitimate musicians and some are not.
Yeah.
And it's that whole thing of it's personal opinion, it's streams,
yeah,
it's reputation, it's how they're perceived.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think that it's going to be interesting how this list ages
yeah
in 5-10 years.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't know if I've ever, like, it's like Baby Ariel was like huge on like Musical.ly, mm-hmm. and obviously is still huge now, but like I would say like her prime was on Musical.ly.
Yeah.
So it's like, I wonder in 5 years, like what Addison Rae will be doing. However, right. Addison Rae is pivoting to movies and like TV as well.
And, like, fashion and beauty.
So I think that she definitely has longevity. But I would like to see, yeah, exactly where these people are in 5 years.
Yeah, I'm going to get the 10-year Jake Paul anniversary CD vinyl record box.
Yes.
For our number one streamer.
You do like a 10-year reunion with like the Paul brothers or like the Low Gang. And like people have like a meetup and it's like you were like name tags. Like, hey, I used to be a, you know.
Yeah, ex-Maverick.
Yes.
Ex-Low Gang. Glad to feel supported in this moment.
I want to see where I'm at in 10 years. I start making music.
You're singing, rapping on stage yes. at your stand-up gigs. I always have the weirdest Google searches after this.
Yeah.
Tana Mojo Hefner, wet nurse.
Minus how to make breast milk, Tana Mojo. Tana Mojo misspelled. Tana Mojo. Paris Hilton's friend with fat ass.
How old is Jesus?
How did Jesus die?
How did Jesus die? How many friends did Jesus have?
You know, like, usually if you see someone's, like, Google search bar, you can, like, follow their thought process.
There's absolutely no fucking rhyme or reason. Yes.
This person is smoking bath salts.
Yep.
Is what you figure.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for this super special episode of
Violating Community Guidelines.
Be sure to like, follow, subscribe.
Rate five stars.
Leave a comment.
And a review.
Please.
Mm-hmm. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, any place you get your podcasts.
Yes.
YouTube.
Pride Month. YouTube. Being gay.
Pride Month.
Pride. Hashtag lesbian. Hashtag gay. Hashtag...
hashtag bi. Hashtag pan.
Hashtag... hashtag IA. We heart you guys. And we'll see you next week.
Bye. This is so ugly. Bye.
I read.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today. The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.